The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with Pastor John Ward right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love what Brother Shambach would always say, Gary. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, when you got your eyes on Jesus, everything is going to be okay. You know, one thing you know as a pilot, Gary, that it may be dark down here, and the clouds may come in and the storm clouds may roll over. But if you can get above 15, 20,000 feet up into the clouds, you're above the clouds, and it's always a sunny day.
Always.
Always. And so, you know, spiritually speaking, it may be dark down here, and it is dark down here. But that's why God said to put on the garment of praise, put on beauty for ashes, rejoice in the Lord always. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Put on praise, put on strength, gird yourself with strength. And it's something that we have to do spiritually. And that's what walking by faith is all about. Because when you walk by faith, you begin to rise above the obscurity, you rise above the test and the trial. And you know that, listen, God is always good, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what things look like, no matter what's going on. And that's what the blessing is when you learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I was encouraging someone the other day that you don't need to walk by faith when everything is going well. When everything's going good, it feels good, it looks good, everything seems to be in the natural going well, you don't need faith. But faith is like, what do they call it, Gary? Instrument flight rating.
Yeah.
You know, you remember John Kennedy Jr., JFK Jr., when he died there on his way to Martha's Vineyard a few years ago, he was a new pilot. And he really, I don't think he was IFR rated, was he?
He was not.
But he was trying to use IFR, and he was flying in a storm, and he was flying at night. And what they determined happened is that his plane was inverted. And he thought he was pulling up, and he was actually pulling straight down, and he just went straight right into the water, and the plane just disintegrated because he was walking by sight and not walking according to his instruments because he didn't know how to use them. And that's what Spirit of Faith Talk Radio is all about. It's about learning how to use your faith, how to walk by faith and not by sight, because the only way to please God is by faith. And the only way that you're going to walk in the victory is by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How do you overcome? You overcome by faith. Faith works by love. Faith never fails. Faith always causes you to win, because faith is the way that you receive the blessing, the grace from God. It's only by faith. And that's what this show is all about. So I encourage you right now to take a moment, grab that link, send it out to folks, let them know that we are live on the air. And we're going to have a great show tonight in the name of Jesus. If you have a Bible question, a praise report, testimony, email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. Before we pray and get into the word tonight, I just want to, you know, bless all of you for listening to the rerun last week. Man, we had a huge number. I mean, I don't think we even went down last week, Gary. It might have gone up. I got to check that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
We had almost 11,500 people last week listening to a rerun. And the reason was I worked a week ago Wednesday, and I was having some really bad indigestion. I thought I ate some bad hot sauce, Gary, and that I had food poisoning. And so I was vacillating if I should go to emergency. I had food poisoning in Uganda back in 2019 on a missions trip, and I needed antibiotics. So I thought, you know, maybe I need antibiotics. And so I was going to go home, and then my sister talked me into going, went into the emergency room, and they did a bunch of tests, and they were going to send me home with antibiotics, but they said, you know what, your belly's still really tender. Let me send you for a CAT scan. Sure enough, I had an appendicitis, and 3 hours later, they took that sucker out. And I've been receiving my healing, went back to work yesterday, and God is good, and he's good all the time. Praise God. So thank you all for your prayers. As a matter of fact, let me hit these emails real quick, and then we will pray. I got a bunch of emails from last week. I'll get to tonight's emails. They're already coming in, but we'll do that toward the end of the show. But last week, this one says, blessings. May God bless, Pastor. Thank you so much. That's from Beth. Call you blessed, Beth, in Jesus' name. This one is from Ray. Ray says, my prayers to Pastor John tonight. May you heal well. Call you blessed, Ray. This one is from Shane. Hey, Pastor, no questions tonight. Just get well. Thanks, Shane. Call you blessed. This one's from Sherry. This is a question. So we'll come back to this one in a little while. This next one is, I'm learning so much tonight. Thank you for your gift. This is from Lee Iceberg. Call you blessed, Lee, in Jesus' name. And this one is from Ann, says, hoping you get better soon. And call you blessed, Ann. Thank you so much for that. And then one came in on Monday. She must have listened to it later, from Katie. And Katie says, blessings for healing for the pastor. Thank you, Katie. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. All right, let's get into the word tonight. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise and honor. Father, we thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness, your mercies. Lord, you are so faithful. Each and every day, you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so tonight, we pray your blessing upon every single listener. We pray, Father, that you would speak to each one concerning your purpose and your plan. Help each of us right now to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And Lord, we trust you. We covenant with you in advance to give you and you alone all the praise, honor, and glory. Take us in whatever direction you would have us to go. And we know there's no distance in the Spirit. And so we look to you for your gifts and graces and manifestations of the Spirit, however you would choose to move tonight. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Our text tonight comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 13th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." So we speak what we believe in our heart. Let me look at this in the Passion Translation. And it says, "We, having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures," when it says, "First I believed, and then I spoke in faith." So we also first believe, then we speak in faith. Now, when we talk about believing, Gary, what are we talking about believing? Is it just one thing?
No.
No, what would it be? Like, for example?
Well,
or in general?
Believing in the Word of God through the Bible.
Believing the Word of God. Yeah. So in other words, every single promise in the Word of God, in order to work, what does it require?
Faith.
Faith. And so it's kind of like, you know, planting. Have you ever grown a plant from the seed?
Yes.
Maybe tomatoes or something? Yes. So it starts as this little tiny seed, and you put it. So step number one is what? Taking the seed and doing what?
Planting it in soil.
You got to put it in the soil. Yeah. But, and I think with a tomato, you put it in about what, a finger's depth, and you drop it into that dirt, and then you cover it up. Jesus actually said that unless a seed first goes into the ground and dies, it cannot bring forth fruit. So there's actually this process that the seed goes through before it produces. So it goes under the dirt. But then what is required after you plant it?
Watering?
You have to water it. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul said, and I want to take a look at this real quick. If you have your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bible, get your Bible and turn to, if I can spell Apollos' name right, turn to Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I will find it, I promise. Oh, there are two L's and Apollos? Yep, sure enough. Praise God. Let's go to... Hallelujah. I will find it, I promise. Praise God. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Head over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible app, a really good one that I like is called Olive Tree. You can download Olive Tree for free. There's also Bible.com if you're in the U.S. There's all kinds of really good free Bible apps. I encourage you to get one that has a concordance so you can look up the Greek and the Hebrew. The Old Testament is translated from Hebrew, and the New Testament is translated from the Greek. So it's really good to have a dictionary so that you can look it up. One of the good ones I like is Young's. Young's is a really good translation from Greek and Hebrew. Strong's is good. That's what most people have. A lot of people don't know this, but Dr. Strong was actually a Calvinist. And so sometimes his definitions are a little skewed toward Calvinism, which is the ideology that once saved, always saved, which is really a false doctrine. It's not what the Bible teaches, but Calvinism taught that for a long time. Another side of that is called Arminianism. Arminianism is more what we believe, which is more concurrent with the scriptures. Praise God. Calvinism is really not, it's false doctrine. Praise God. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's just start with verse 1, King James. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk," because a baby drinks milk, "and not with meat. For hitherto," or up to this point, "you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able to bear." So what's he talking about, Gary? He's saying that they couldn't receive the word because they didn't have any foundation. They were carnal. Carnal means that they were body ruled, or they were flesh ruled. They were sense ruled. They only went by their senses and not by faith. Someone, a good definition of being spiritual is someone who is a doer of the word. The Greek word for spiritual is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos means non-carnal. It means ethereal. It means it's referring to a spirit. And so someone who is spiritual is someone who is walking by faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore we speak. So I'm putting all this together. So don't lose me. I have not left our original topic here, talking about faith and talking about that seed that you sow into your heart, and then you cover it with dirt and then you water it. Now let's keep going. We're here now in verse 3. I'm in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For you are yet carnal, or naturally minded, not spiritually minded, not a doer of the word of God. How often, Gary, during the day, you know, or any time, do you have opportunities to make a choice to just do the normal, or all of a sudden you're quickened or reminded about something in the Bible, and now you have a choice? Do I do what I would normally do, or do I do what the Bible said?
Usually, unfortunately, it's do what I normally do.
No, but how often do you have that sense?
Probably.
Where you're remembering, maybe something that I taught.
Yeah, I would say, for me personally, maybe 3-4 times a day.
Okay, that's good. So now what's happening is those are 3 or 4 opportunities during the day that you have to, instead of choosing carnality or the natural body sense way of you of normally operating, you now have an opportunity to step up to do what's spiritual. Now, those reminders, do you know where they come from?
My conscience? I don't know.
Yes, that's good. That's good. But what is another word for your conscience?
My,
it's synonymous.
Okay. My,
your spirit.
My spirit. Okay.
Yeah. Your spirit is your conscience, not your soul. Your spirit is your conscience. So it's that little prompting deep down. It's that little, check, that little, I need to consider that, it's not like a voice or anything. It's just this like sense down deep down. And who lives inside your spirit, or anybody who's born again?
Christ.
Okay, but specifically, you're right, it's the Spirit of Christ, but what else do we call him?
Well, God.
Okay, but he's the third person of the Trinity.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, his job, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit, his job is to remind you of the word of God. Why? Why does he remind you of the word? Because remember, that word that's being quickened to you, you're being reminded. You got a fork in the road. I can either do it the natural way, or I can do it the spiritual way. And when that opportunity comes to do it the spiritual way, Holy Spirit now brings to your remembrance what the word of God said. He's reminding you what Jesus said. Why? Why is he doing that? The word's already been planted in there, but why is he reminding you?
Well, he's reminding...
Don't get deep.
Because we live carnal, most of us.
No, I mean, yes, no, I wouldn't say that. But so here's the deal. The reason he's reminding you is so that you can make the right choice.
Yes, yes.
And that's all spirituality is. So you got two kinds of Christians, carnal Christians and spiritual Christians. A carnal Christian is going to do things the natural way, which means they're not acknowledging God. They're just ignoring him. A spiritual person, Holy Spirit is now quickening and reminding you of the word so that you can do it. If you do it, you're spiritual. Has nothing to do with how you feel, has nothing to do with how you look on the outside, doesn't matter how big of a cross you wear around your neck, doesn't matter how many times you do the shaka shundai, all the spiritual, yeah. Supposed spiritual things, man, that doesn't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is that you heard the voice of the Spirit quickening you to make the right choice. And then you made the right choice. You're a doer of the word. And now James chapter 1 tells us, as a result of being a doer of the word, you're going to be blessed in your deed. And that's what faith is. Faith is a deed. A deed means it's an action. It's a work. James actually tells us it's a work of faith. And so as doers of the word, you can expect to walk in the blessing. You know, having that surgery a week ago Wednesday, the Holy Spirit has been reminding me constantly of Psalms 34, where he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And so I was looking up that word afflictions, and it means any kind of evil, calamity, any type of trial or attack that comes. Man, I didn't know I was going to have this thing, and my body was going to do this kind of stuff, and I was going to have surgery and go through all this. But God did, and he already made a way for me to be healed and restored. Which reminds me, Gary, did I talk about there's a minister in the United States whose wife died about 3 weeks ago? Did I talk about that at all?
I don't remember that.
So precious, precious man, and a precious woman of God, just precious. And I don't know them personally, but, you know, following their ministry and seeing what they do and just faithful people. She had some symptoms come upon her. He told this publicly, so I can repeat it, but I'm not going to get into names or anything. But she had some symptoms come on her, and it was this like abdominal stuff. And you remember with Omicron, the strain of COVID, people had these, you know, stomach things that were going on, and yeah. It was connected to COVID. Mm-hmm. So they called a friend of theirs who was a doctor. And the doctor said, it sounds like the newest strain of COVID, and I'll give you some antiviral. But he never examined her. So she's 42 years old, 40 or 42. And she takes the medicine. A couple weeks go by. He travels. They take their 14-year-old son with them to this meeting a few hours away. And that night, this is Saturday night, she called. It's actually Sunday morning, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. She's calling him and calling her son, and they're not answering. They're sleeping. They didn't hear the phone. And so she goes through the night, and the reason she was calling is she had the worst pain in her life that she has ever experienced. And he woke up and saw that he missed the calls, and he called her, and she said, I had the worst night of my life, the worst pain I've experienced. And she said, well, he said, well, why didn't you call 911? And she said, well, you know, I'm just believing, and I don't want to go to the hospital and be without you. I want to wait till you get home. And she said, you know, her tongue was numb. And then she said her feet were numb. And he said, I'm going to call 911. I'll call you right back. And so, but I need you. He said, I need you to go open the door for 911. And she said, I don't think I can get up. So she was really sick. And so 911 is called. Then he calls her back. She doesn't answer the phone. And 20 minutes later, he got a phone call that when EMS arrived, she had already passed.
Oh, my goodness.
So she went to heaven. And that's where she is right now. She's in heaven. She's in glory. And he's going to see her again. And so is their 14-year-old son. Hopefully he'll be a little bit older. But they did an autopsy and found that there was a tumor in her abdomen, and the tumor was growing. I don't even know if it was cancerous, but the tumor had grown very quickly and it perforated her small intestine, and she became septic and she died of an infection.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about it is it would have been easy to fix it, but she didn't go in. Now, brother, have you ever heard of Fred Price, Gary?
No.
So Dr. Fred Price, anybody that's been around for a while will know that name. He pastored Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles for many, many, many years. He went home to be with the Lord a year or two ago in his, I think, late 80s or early 90s. And Dr. Fred Price wrote a book called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And sometimes Christians think that they're in faith, but they're not. They're either in foolishness because it's outside of God's word, or it's presumption because they're only going by the letter of the word and not by the spirit. And the thing that we have to understand is that the letter killeth, the scripture says. Paul said the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So if you try to just walk by the letter of the word of God, you're going to stumble and fall because you need the Holy Spirit to give us revelation, to give you understanding, to show you when to hold them and when to fold them. And when you don't know when to hold them and when to fold them, you can operate over in foolishness. Now, that's not to take away the divinity, the power, the it's the other word I'm looking for, of God's word. God's word is sovereign. It is powerful. It will always produce. It will always work. But if we try to do it in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own wisdom, we're going to stumble and fall. That's why he said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct your paths. We need the wisdom of God, and we need fellowship with God. That's why when Holy Spirit, you know, Gary said 3 or 4 times a day, quickens that word to you, and it's probably a lot more than that. But when he quickens that word to you, what he's doing is he is breathing life. He's speaking, he's quickening that word so that you can do what? How did that word start growing inside you, Gary? Because Holy Spirit didn't just give you something that you didn't already have. It was already inside you. So you heard the word. And just like that tomato seed, when you heard the word, that seed went into your heart and it was planted in your heart. But in order for the seed to grow, so you put it in the ground, right, Gary? You put the dirt on top of it. Mm-hmm. Then what do you got to do?
You have to water it.
Got to water it. This is key now. So we plant the word. But the word has not yet come to a place where fruit is coming. When you take the seed and you put it inside the ground, do you have tomatoes the next day?
No.
No. It's seed. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, so shall seed, time, and harvest. There's seed time and harvest time. So you sow the seed. But between seed time and harvest time, what do you have to do?
Water and care for
it. Got to water it. Yeah. You got to water it and you got to keep the weeds away, right?
Yep.
So when the Holy Spirit is quickening this word to your spirit, to your conscience, because the Holy Spirit lives in your conscience. When he's quickening this word to you, what is he wanting you to do? What is he reminding you to do?
To accept it.
And no, you already accepted it. It's already in your heart. It's already planted. You took the seed, you put it inside the ground, you put the dirt on top of it. But when the Holy Spirit quickens that word to you, what is he asking you to do?
Well, I can use the term water it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to see it in the scripture in just a hot second. Exactly what he's saying to do. You got to water it. If you don't water it, it doesn't have the nutrition and it won't grow and it won't produce a harvest. Watering is absolutely critically necessary, important. If you don't do it, it's not going to grow. And so when he quickens you 3 or 4 times a day, he's saying it's time to water the seed. It's time to water this. How do you water the seed? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe according as it is written and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So when you speak that same word that's already planted, what are you doing to the word?
You're doing it. You're listening. You're
watering it.
Yeah.
You're watering it. The more you speak it, the more you water it. And the more you water it, the more it will grow. Look at verse 5 now. I'm still in 1 Corinthians 3. See, some of you thought I'd change the whole subject. No, we're still on the same thing. Verse 5. Let's go to verse 6. Paul says, I have planted and Apollos watered. Now, who's Apollos, Gary? Do you have any idea?
A god? I don't know.
No. Apollos is a man. He's a teacher. He's Greek, so he was probably named after the
Greek god.
Yeah, the Greek god Apollos. Yeah. But no, he's a man, and he was one of Paul's sons in the faith, and Apollos was a teacher of the word. So now Paul was also a teacher, but do you know what Paul's main calling was, Gary?
I don't remember.
Think about it. The Apostle Paul.
What was he?
Apostle.
Well, yeah.
The Apostle Paul. So remember, there's five ministry gifts, Ephesians 4:11. There's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so the apostle, his job in the New Testament is to sow ministries, to start churches, to start works. It doesn't have to be a church, but to start works. That's the apostle's job, usually churches. And so the apostle, when they're establishing a church, will touch the different ministry gifts, which include the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a starter. And so what Apollos was called to do was to teach the word of God. So it's kind of like a farmer who's got multiple different properties. And if you've got multiple different properties, can you fully care for all those properties at one time?
No.
So what do you have to do? You're going to have to get some help, and you're going to have to get an irrigation system so that you can water all these seeds every day, because if you don't water them, they're not going to grow. And so the farmer, he's going to plant the seeds or get some help, but he's going to be the main one. He's going to say, we're going to use this seed, we're going to use this ground, and this is how we're going to do it. And that's what the apostle does. The apostle is sowing the seed into all these different grounds, but then he's going to need help to develop the ground. Now, when we talk about the ground spiritually, what is the ground, Gary?
Us.
Well, us, but which part of us? What's our ground?
Our spirit?
Our spirit, which is our heart. So the Greek uses the word heart, which is the Greek word cardia. So the heart, cardia, means the center of who you are. So the center of you is your spirit. And so the word is sown into the heart, and then it has to be watered. And this is where teaching comes in. So I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor, and I'm a teacher. What I'm doing tonight for all my audience is I am doing some sowing, because you're hearing some things you haven't heard before. But for the most part, for most of you, I'm watering the seed. Now, what's more important, Gary, the sowing of the seed or the watering of the seed?
I would think the watering.
I would think they're equal. Because if the word is not sown, there's nothing to water.
True.
But if it's not watered, there's no harvest.
True.
And this is where people get confused about the kingdom of God. They think the kingdom of God is magic. And I just pray, and then I go to bed, and then I get up and here's my answer, and that's it. And it's just, it's the magic kingdom. It's Walt Disney that, you know, God is the, what was it with Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, that God is the Wizard of Oz and he's granting wishes. And that is not how the kingdom of God works. And this is where people become despondent and confused. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. People don't understand how the kingdom works. And that's the job of the ministry, is to teach how the kingdom works, not to solve all your answers, not to do it for you, but to give you the tools necessary to understand how to operate in the kingdom of God. Paul said, you're carnal. But he said, you need to be spiritual. You need to desire meat of the word so that you can grow thereby. And so the water of the word means that you are watering the seed that's already been sown in your heart, and then it's going to grow up to a harvest. And so, you know, it takes time. And a lot of times the reason that we don't receive the answer to our prayers is not because God hasn't answered our prayer, but because we're impatient. And when you're impatient and you don't wait for it to come, I mean, what kind of farmer would you be if you planted the seed on Tuesday and it didn't come up on Wednesday and you said, this stuff doesn't work, and just kind of threw it all in?
Yeah. Very impatient. Yeah.
You'd be a carnal farmer. You'd be very carnal, and you're not going to get any answers, and you're going to live a very frustrated life for farming. You're probably going to quit. And that's what happens with a lot of Christians. They quit Christianity because they say it doesn't work. And that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. And he tricks you, and he uses deception. He got Eve to quit. He got Eve to become carnal because he got her to observe the natural. He said, the food is good to the eyes. It's beautiful. The good, the food is the fruit is good for the flesh. And it'll make you wise. And he got her to observe all of those things. He said, it'll make you like God. And then God doesn't want you to do that because he doesn't want you to be like him. And then she took it, she was tempted, and she ate the fruit, and then she became carnal. Praise God, because she listened to the lies of the evil one, and he has not changed. He's the same evil one today, tempting people to move away from being spiritual and to become carnal. But remember, a spiritual person is a doer of the word, plain and simple. Just a doer of the word. What does God's word say? And I'm going to do that word. And pretty soon you're going to see a harvest. And pretty soon all this is going to be over. I mean, Gary, if you live to be 90, 100, 120, how long is that compared to eternity?
Nothing.
It's a spit in the bucket.
Yeah.
A big bucket. Nothing. Because eventually you're going to fill up every bucket. With eternity, it's never going to end. And so a lot of times we have these quickenings to us to be spiritual, to do the word, but we just kind of toss it off because we're just used to doing it one way. But when we do that, we're actually stopping the blessing of God from working in our life, because God wants us to walk in the blessing. And it's not just a temporary blessing. It's an eternal blessing. See, the scripture says that when you exercise yourself unto godliness, let me pull it up real quick. Praise God. Godliness. Let's go to, I'm going to come back because, I finished 1 Corinthians 3, didn't I? Let's finish that real quick. Paul says in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, the apostle, neither is he that watereth, the teacher, but it's God that gives the increase. And so remember, the seed has got to grow. And when it grows, it's going to bring forth a harvest, fruit that's going to be beneficial in this lifetime and in the life to come. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16, 1 Timothy 3:16. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, or how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, when we talk about the church of the living God, Gary, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a building?
No.
No, we're talking about the people. And the word church is the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia or ecclesia, it means one who is called out, a chosen one. And so the church is not a building. The church are the people. And each individual that is born again is the ecclesia. You are the ecclesia. I'm the ecclesia. We are the church. And so he says, you ought to know how to behave yourself in the church. Well, if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then you are the church. So he's saying you ought to know how to eat. You ought to know how to talk. You ought to know how to behave yourself. You ought to know what to do that's going to bring glory and honor to God. And would you remind me, Gary, when I get to the questions, I want to talk about tattoos tonight.
Tattoos?
I want to talk about tattoos.
Okay.
Have I talked about tattoos that you remember?
I don't believe so.
No. Well, Shundai, we're going to talk about them tonight in the name of Jesus. So he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. And that is not the scripture that I want. Praise the Lord. Exercise. Here we go. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profits little. So we're talking about going to the gym, right, Gary?
Yep.
He says, going to the gym profits little. Now, what does that mean, profits little? It means that it only profits for a short time. Well, what's that short time? The short time until we leave this planet. Because once you leave this planet, you won't need that. It won't benefit you anymore. So bodily exercise, is it important?
No.
Yes.
Well, it is when you're here, it is.
When you're here.
Yeah.
But it's only profitable for a short time. But God, see, some people read the scripture and they say, oh, here it is. I don't have to exercise because it only profits little. Well, it profits little to keep you down here for 120 years.
Yeah,
you need to exercise.
Right.
For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So it's profitable unto physical things and natural things and spiritual things, everything. Now, then he goes on to say, it has the promise of the life that now is, promise now, but and of that which is to come. So there is an eternal reward for exercising yourself with faith now. When you exercise yourself unto godliness, walking by faith, you're going to have an eternal reward when you exercise and walk by faith. Faith will always produce a harvest in your life. And so we need to understand that as we have the word sown in our heart, then when the Holy Spirit quickens that word, I like what Benny Hinn said a long time ago. He said that when you feel the presence of God or when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's not doing it so you can have a spiritual picnic. He's quickening you so you can be a doer of the word. And so when he quickens you, yield to that. And the more you yield to him, let me tell you this, Gary. When the word of God is, when you're reminded of the word of God, it's not the devil talking to you.
Right.
It's God talking to you. Why? Because Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of the word, to be a doer of the word, so that you can become spiritual. And if you're not spiritual, you're not pleasing to God. And so he will continually remind you. Now, Holy Spirit also can be grieved. And Holy Spirit will shut down. He's not going to continue to remind you of something that you reject. Now, if you haven't rejected it, he's going to keep reminding you. But if you shut him down, The Bible talks about how your conscience can be seared with a hot iron. If you continue to shut him down and say, I don't want that, he will be grieved. He will stop reminding you in that area for a season and maybe forever if you don't come back to it. And so we have to be really careful and sensitive that we are not grieving the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so when he quickens it to you, yield to him. And you can even say this, Holy Spirit, help me to do this. I don't know how to do this. I need you to help me. And he will. Praise God. Amen. Okay, let's get to tattoos and then we'll get to your questions tonight. So I heard somebody say this yesterday. I was actually talking to a friend of mine and we were fellowshipping and on the phone for about 45 minutes. And what do I mean by fellowshipping? We're one person said, Buddy Harrison said that fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. And it means that you're talking about the Word of God. And we were just having a great time, man, talking about the Word of God. And he was telling me about this minister. If I mention her name, every one of you would know who she is. But I'm not going to do that. And you'll probably Google it and you'll figure out who it is. But she was talking about tattoos and that several years ago when she was in Australia, she was thinking about a particular scripture, and I'll bring it up in a minute, and that God has us physically tattooed on his hands, which he doesn't, and that tattoos are okay. And then she made this statement. She said, the Bible does not forbid tattoos. And that is absolutely not true. And now this is a woman of God, man, that I have great respect for her. Even today, even after I heard this, you know, Brother Hagin taught us, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So I'm not disregarding everything that she teaches and whatnot, but I'm certainly disregarding this. And here's why. She said that the Bible doesn't say anything about not getting tattoos, which is absolutely not true. So Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28, Leviticus 19, 28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Let me read a different translation. Do not cut your bodies for the dead and do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. And so some might say, well, Pastor, we're not under the law. We're under grace. So I can do anything that I want because I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. And this is where we miss it. Now, are you going to go to hell because you get a tattoo? What do you think, Gary?
No.
Absolutely not. But is God's word the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Is he the same God that wrote Leviticus, which is the same God that wrote Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and all the New Testament?
Yes.
Is he any different?
No.
So did he mean it back in Leviticus, and now he doesn't mean it anymore?
No, he meant it.
He meant it. He's the same God. And so to say that God doesn't have a problem with tattoos would mean that he's somehow different than he was when he wrote the book of Leviticus, which is absolutely not true. Now, Joy, I just said her name. The minister that was teaching this, she was using a scripture from Isaiah, and I'm trying to find it here. Isaiah. Isaiah 44. No, that's not it. Uh, Isaiah 49:16. Let's go there. This is the one she was using, Isaiah 49:16. And here's the scripture, Gary, and everybody that came to me. Philippians says, each of us have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. So we work out what God works in us, and we do that through fear and trembling. And, you know, here's the thing. How does getting a tattoo bring glory to God? Well, you say, I put God verses on there and I put God pictures on there, but he said, don't do it. He said, don't cut your body for the dead and do not mark your skin with tattoos. He said, don't do it. So if you put a tattoo on your body that says, honor God or Jesus is Lord, or this is God's temple, how does that bring honor to God when God said, don't do it?
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And this is the deception. And so is God going to lead you? Answer this question, Gary. Is God going to lead you to do something that is contrary to his word?
No.
But who will?
The devil, Satan.
The devil. And we go right back to the Garden of Eden when the devil was sneaky and he's talking to Eve and he's saying, look at this fruit. Look at this tattoo. It's so pretty. It'll bring honor to God. God knows that it'll honor him. And every time you wear a sleeveless shirt, people will see that you love Jesus, and it'll have a picture of Jesus on your arm, and it'll show honor to God. And yet it's completely contrary to what God said. Write it down, saints. Leviticus 19:28. Do not cut your bodies for the dead. What do a lot of people put on their body? Tattoos?
Skeletons.
Let's say, and skeletons. Or let's say one of their family members die.
Usually, I don't know.
They put a picture
name,
of their family member.
And a name and,
in loving memory or, you know, those kind of things. Because they want to remember them, and they think somehow they're honoring them by getting a tattoo. But what does he say right here? Don't cut your body for the dead. Do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. So how can you say that God is leading you to get a tattoo when the scripture clearly says, don't do it? And this is the thing we need to understand. So Isaiah 49:16. Here's what, and this is the scripture that this minister used. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in the ruins. And apparently, okay, here it is. This is the Amplified Bible. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands, O Zion. Talking about Jerusalem. Your walls are continually before me. Now, who's he talking about here? Who is the main understanding of the subject? Let me read it again. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted or tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. O Zion. What is Zion, Gary? Do you know?
I don't remember.
That's Jerusalem.
Yeah, okay.
Another name for Zion. Another name for Jerusalem is Zion. Your walls are continually before me. So who's he talking of? Who's he talking to?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. But this minister said that God was saying that this is each of my children. That's not what he's saying here at all. Verse 16, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. This is a figurative way. Figurative. Figurative. God has not gone to a tattoo artist and had Jerusalem tattooed on the palm of his hands. Does that just not sound crazy?
It's funny.
It's a figurative way of saying that God would never forget Zion and that her people would be an everlasting remembrance before him. It is said that that there was a custom among pilgrims to Jerusalem to have representations of the city or temple tattooed on their hands and arms to remind them of the sacred place. They were called ensigns of Jerusalem. But here's the deal. God is never going to lead you to do something that is specifically contrary to his word. And so, you know, the answer, you've heard me say this a lot of times, Gary, the answer to 1,001 questions is to be led, to be led by the Spirit. The answer to 1,001 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. That 4 or 5 times a day that you sense that quickening, he wants you to water the word, water that word that was sown. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. Now answer this question, Gary. Is the Holy Spirit ever going to lead you to do something that's contrary to the word of God?
No.
But who will?
The devil, Satan.
Satan. Every time. Demons, their job is to steal the blessing from you. Their job is to get you to defile the temple of God. Well, what is the temple of God? The temple of God is your body. And that's why he's trying to get you to defile it by cutting it. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, getting a tattoo, you know, it is certainly defiling your flesh, but your temple is your spirit. So you're not necessarily defiling your temple. However, if you're going against the word of God, then you are certainly defiling your temple. For example, Hebrews 12:13 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, whereby many are defiled. So bitterness in your heart brings defilement to your spirit. That's what Satan is trying to do. So Satan will tempt you and say, you can't forgive that person. They've hurt you too bad. And what is he doing? He's trying to get you to defile your temple. And your body, we just read it in 1 Corinthians, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you tattoo your body, you are defiling your temple. Praise God. Enough on that. But at the end of the day, you got to choose. You know, I'm not the one that's going to judge you. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just teaching you the word. It's a full-time job to take care of John. My job is not to judge nobody. I take care of me. So if you're sensing conviction or condemnation, it ain't coming from me. I'm just giving you the word. You got to make a choice at the end of the day. Praise God. Amen. Let's get to your questions tonight. And I got a lot of them, Gary. What in the world?
I don't know.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. First one. What's that?
No, go ahead. You go.
This first one is from Dave. It says, hi, Pastor. Welcome back. I saw that you were ill last week and so glad that you are better now. Yeah, I told everybody at the beginning I had an appendectomy last Wednesday. And I'm really supernaturally doing well. I'm in no pain anymore. My skin's a little itchy from the incision. But other than that, man, I'm doing great. God is good. Need a little extra rest, a little extra sleep, but that's about it. Praise God. Thanks for your prayers, everybody. Call you blessed, Dave, in Jesus' name. Another email here too from Jake. Jake says, praying for pastor's continued recovery. Call you blessed, Jake. Another email from Donna. Pastor, does God look like Jesus? Or does Jesus look like us? Both. So Jesus is the express image, Hebrews chapter 1, and likeness of God. And you and I, Genesis 1:26, are made in the image and likeness of God. We look just like God. Jesus looks just like God. God looks just like Jesus. And so, yeah, when you see the Father, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be like, man, I look just like my daddy. You say, well, what if my color is different? Don't worry about colors. Colors don't mean nothing. Colors is just, you know, does a red Camry look like a white Camry, Gary?
Yes and no. It's the same car, but different color.
Same car.
Yeah.
Just different color.
Yeah.
Amen. God doesn't want to get bored. So he's got lots of different colors. Praise the Lord. Amen. Call you blessed. Donna, another email here tonight from Sherry. Sherry says, Pastor, do we actually know if Jesus drank wine? We know of the miracle that he did regarding it, but did he drink it? Thank you. You know, I don't know that he drank that wine, but certainly he drank ceremonial wine. Now, the argument that many will have is, was it fermented or unfermented? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Jesus never drank to get drunk, ever. And the scripture is very clear on that. So fermented or unfermented, I don't know. I would recommend stay away from any fermented wine. Drink grape juice. Drink water. Drink, got some Canada Dry Zero my wife bought me. But I'd stay away from the intoxicating stuff. Drink the grape juice, praise God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that he that gets drunk is not wise, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is a rage. So stay away from alcohol in Jesus' name. Call you blessed, Sherry. Another email here tonight from Bob. Bob says, hi to Pastor John. Tell your listeners this. It's a t-shirt and it says, be careful or you'll end up in my sermon. Well, you heard some other people in my sermons tonight. Praise God. Call you blessed, Bob, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Brian. Brian says, hey, Pastor, my retirement. It's a picture of a t-shirt, and it says, it's got a wrench and a screwdriver, and it says, work for God. The retirement benefits are great. Ooh, I love it. Trey, that's a good t-shirt there. Call you blessed tonight, Brian, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Frank. Frank says, hello, Pastor, may our Lord heal you. Amen. He has, and I'm walking in it. Call you blessed, Frank, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from John Tamino. John says, Pastor, why does the Bible not really mention a lot about Jesus's earthly father, Joseph? What was it not important to the writers? Well, remember, the writers were only writing what the Holy Spirit gave them. And Joseph was not his earthly father. Joseph was Mary's husband. Joseph has no DNA in Jesus at all, except from the lineage of David, which is where Joseph comes from. So there is DNA from there. But in terms of direct DNA, that came from the sperm of God. The Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 1, moved upon the uterus of Mary and impregnated that egg that was sown into her. And so the Father God was the actual earthly father of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Call you blessed, John, in Jesus' name. Gary, feel free to chime in anytime you think I need to give further explanation.
Sure, no problem. You're doing great.
Andrew writes and says, hi, Spirit of Faith, life. I am not a smart man, but why would bacteria on Mars be considered proof of life? And it's a picture of Tom Hanks. What movie was that? My wife hates that movie. What was that movie Tom Hanks was in where he wasn't real smart?
What's his name? Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, yeah. He said, I am not a smart man, but why would bacteria on Mars be considered proof of life when a heartbeat in a woman on Earth is not? Can you believe it? It still amazes me that we've been killing 65 million children since 1973. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. Another email here tonight from Florence. Gary, give me a 1 minute warning when I need to cut off.
All right, keep going.
Florence says, hello, Pastor. This is funny. Jerry Springer's memorial service. And it's a picture of a church in pews and everybody's fighting and throwing chairs at each other. I call you blessed, Florence, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Cameron. It's the Titanic sinking. And it says, hi, Pastor John. God sees all classes of people were aboard the Titanic. Wealthy people, famous people, healthy, highly educated people, illiterate people, poor folks down in the steerage. But a few hours later, when they posted the list in the Cunard office in New York, there were only two categories, lost and saved. That is how God sees humanity. 1 John 5:12. Oh my goodness. That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Cameron. I'm going to save that myself. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ray. Ray says, Hello, Pastor. Just curious here. What is your absolute favorite passage in the Bible and why? Thank you. Oh, man, I got so many, but I'm going to have to go with Romans 8:14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It's my favorite because the only way to please God is by faith. And the only way to walk by faith is hearing from the Holy Spirit and obeying him. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Ray, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ken. Ken says, Pastor, why do we not know when our Lord will reappear on earth? Why is it a secret? Great question, Ken, because we need to be ready. And being ready means that we make a choice to serve God every day and not just the convenience of living in sin and then getting saved from it, but really, truly giving your life to God. And then no man knows the day or the hour when he will appear. And that's how the Father has set it up. Call you blessed, Ken.
1 minute.
In Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ann. Hi to Pastor John. I heard you. Some advice for your listeners. The Bible is literally unfolding in front of the whole world right now. It's time to get right with God. That's absolutely true. Call you blessed, Ann, in Jesus' name. Two more emails. This one's from Alexander. Pastor, what is something very simple that I can tell someone when they argue that there is no God? I know that it is very complicated to discuss this argument with those kind of folks, but what is a good thing to say to them, at least to get them to listen more? Thank you for your advice. I would tell them Jesus loves you. I don't believe in Jesus. Jesus loves you. Just sow that seed. Let the Holy Spirit do the work and pray for them. Praise God. Call you blessed, Alexander, in Jesus' name. This one is from Monica. Hi, Pastor John. I live in your old area in Ontario, and here are some issues. Durham Radio, Drag Queen Story Time is coming back to Durham. It's just as bad in the U.S. right now, and they're even using drag to try to get sailors to join the military. It's just so ridiculous. I call you blessed tonight. Monica, last email of the night is from Tommy. Tommy says, hi, Pastor John. Noah, need an ark? I know a guy. That's funny. Call you blessed tonight, Tommy, in Jesus' name. What a privilege it's been for Gary and I to be with you tonight. We want you to remind you, we'll be back next week. Check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Until next week, remember that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.